Welcome back to Locked On NFL Draft. A full slate was had this weekend. A lot of things affecting those draft prospects. How do you become a riser or a faller? Who are they this week? And what do you do in this particular wide receiver class? Is this always going to be this way? We're going to get into it right now on Locked On NFL Draft.
You are Locked On NFL Draft. Your daily podcast covering the NFL Draft. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On NFL Draft. I'm your host, and as always, I'm your host, Eric Crocker. And as always, I'm joined by my guy, Ryan Tracy. Ryan, how you doing?
I am usually not Eric Crocker, but maybe today I could be. I don't know. Welcome to Monday, folks. This is a fun one. It's getting down to the end of the college season, right? We're starting to have a little bit more clarity. And it's funny for me, like, how it goes through the process and what we got out of this weekend. Risers and Fallers is always one of my favorite ones. But, like, who hit you this week?
So I want to know. I want you to get straight into it, man. Like, you know, your first faller, right? Like, you know, what's a guy that kind of really comes to mind for you?
You know, for me, I try not to point out the fallers. I focus on the riders most of the time. But for the fallers, it's really, for me, I wanted to see a little bit more out of the program at Oregon. There's a couple of different players. We're going to talk about one tomorrow. Don't miss that show, you guys. But when you take a look all the way around, it's who didn't stand out, who didn't go forward. I know you're a big fan of Treylon Burks. I thought he had a pretty solid game, but I thought he missed some opportunities as well. I won't say he's a faller, but I don't think he helped himself this weekend too. And I was kind of looking forward to that. What about you?
You know, I think, you know, right away you start to look at guys that are falling. I think Kenneth Walker, right, from Michigan State. Now, not all his fault. And that was a guy that we highlighted last week. We talked about him. There were some people talking about him potentially being a Heisman candidate. And when your team's getting your butt kicked the way that Ohio State just dogged Michigan State, obviously, like, the first thing that's going to suffer is the run game. I think they were down, like, 42-0 at halftime or something like that. So you're not going to be able to run the ball. But the fact that he just wasn't able to really contribute, you know, that was one thing that I noticed right away where it's like, man, like, you know, the run game isn't helping. Your team, you know, just super overpowered. And Kenneth Walker, he took a big hit for that. So I think that was one guy, not faller in the sense of how he's going to be viewed as a prospect, but just in how this weekend went for him.
I can't argue with you, too. That was the other guy that I was kind of going back and forth with. But like you said, situationally, it's difficult to blame the running back when you fall that far behind. I would like to see a little bit more out of some of those runs, sure, but I think he's still going to be up there at the top of the conversation. A riser for me this weekend, and I think it's kind of controversial because it's not necessarily about his individual performance in terms of throwing the ball around. I thought Desmond Ridder made a statement that, hey, when we have to go in and beat somebody, everybody's been complaining about us all season that we don't stomp on teams that we're supposed to. It felt like his leadership came out a little bit more this weekend in getting that win over an SMU team that, you know, has gotten some kudos for their offense, right? The team was able to get the win, but I thought Ridder was able to say, okay, I can throw the ball, I can run the ball, but I can also lead a team.
Yeah, I think this was a big time game for him. It's just a big moment right now, obviously not against, like, you know, elite talent, and it's clearly not on the big stage. Really, most of his games this year haven't been on the big stage. He's played against opponents where, you know, Cincinnati has been the better team, a Cincinnati team that's sitting at 11-0, but he's been very steady, he's been very consistent. We talked early on about it, not like there's nothing about his game that has really wowed us, but I do look at him, I start, you know, where do I view him as a prospect? Where do I think he'll go in the draft? And I think with a lot of this quarterback class, I actually saw a report that their scout or an NFL exec thinks that four quarterbacks may go in the first round. I'm like, wow, I'd probably pass on four quarterbacks in the first round. And a guy like Desmond Ridder, if he's around in that second round stage, that's someone who I would strongly look into because, again, he can make all the throws. He has all the ability, you know, the accuracy, it kind of comes and goes, but, you know, you see the big arm and the mobility and things like that. I feel like there's a lot there to work with to potentially build on. And I mean, we saw a guy, Felipe Franks, you know, him go to the NFL and he went to the Atlanta Falcons. I think this is kind of like Felipe Franks, but on steroids. I think he's a much better prospect than Felipe Franks.
Yeah, I can't argue with that too much. And folks, If you're new to the show, welcome back. I know you guys, some people are still looking for Trevor and Ben. They have moved on to other pastors. So Eric and I are locking this down. We're taking a different spin on it. I want you guys to know we're trying to cover the draft process from beginning to end. That includes going through the rookies and that kind of stuff. So we're going to bop around to a lot of different topics this week. We hope that you'll join us for more of these shows, but thanks for making us your first listen today. Any other risers that stand out to you?
Yeah. So Bruce Armstrong, I was watching a little bit of Kenny Pickett, and obviously, like, you know, that's been a polarizing name. And I know it's crazy. I'm a defensive back guy, but I keep getting attracted to these quarterbacks. Kenny Pickett, he's a guy at Pittsburgh, and he had a solid game. You know, hit himself, mm-hmm. 340 yards, 4 touchdowns, 2 picks. But Bruce Armstrong, who was the starting quarterback for Virginia, he's a junior, so he is draft eligible. Will he come out? Will he stay? That's going to be something he's going to have to decide. But he's thrown for over 4,000 yards this season, 30 touchdowns to 9 interceptions. So it's not amazing, but it's like, hey, somebody has been productive. But in this game, 36 of 49 for almost 500 yards and 3 touchdowns. He gave Virginia a chance against Pittsburgh. So, you know, this is someone who is rising because, like, man, I'm going to have to start diving into, like, what exactly he's doing, what is he doing on a week-to-week basis, and how good of a prospect can he potentially be?
I agree with you. It sounds exactly like the story I was just going to tell you about Bailey Zappe down at Western Kentucky. Guy that we kind of hinted at last week because of Jarrett Sturgis, right? But again, like 476 touchdowns, 48 on the season. Like, it's come on of late, but I think he's getting the attention. I think he's going to be somebody that works his way through this draft from what might have been a really low, like, rocket chance kind of take guy into somebody that maybe somebody can project to the future of at least a backup, if not somebody they want to give a shot to come in and compete for a job.
Yeah, my next riser, I'm actually going to wait until we get to the next segment and talk about these receivers, all right? Because there's this receiver who I feel like not a lot of people are talking about, and he's kind of exploded onto the scene, all right? So we're gonna get into that when we come back from this break. But first, I want to talk to you guys a little bit about, you know, does this sound familiar to you? You've got your device that lets you catch all the games live. You have another one that lets you stream your favorite shows, and you're watching your sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for all the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you that there's a much simpler way to go about getting all your entertainment that you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream. All right, and it brings you live TV on demand for all your favorites together like never before, and you can watch your favorite sports, movies, shows, all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part about it, there's no annual contract. You can get out of it at any time. So get rid of all the clutter, get rid of the confusion, and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more about DirecTV Stream by going to DirecTV.com. All right, that's DirecTV.com. And it's compatible with device required. Content varies by the package. All right, so speaking of package, boss, you got two receivers at Alabama. And we wanted to get into the receivers and just talk about, like, this loaded class. And I'm watching Arkansas and against Alabama. And, you know, Treylon Burks, he at the end of the game, towards the end, he makes just this explosive play. Great adjustment on the ball. You know, big bodies, the defensive back, catches it, outruns everybody to the end zone. And I just started thinking about it. I'm like, we talk about all these receivers all the time on this show. You know, we talked about the, you know, Jahan Dotson. We've talked about Olave and Garrett Wilson and all these other guys. We talked about Treylon Burks. And I think we need to be talking about our guy, Jameson Williams. Mm-hmm. His name, I don't know why I have a hard time saying it. Jameson Williams, all right, receiver out of Alabama. And I think he's everything right now. And I think he was at Ohio State. And maybe it's clear why he was never really going to be the guy there. I don't know. I feel like what he's shown at Alabama, he definitely could have been a big part of the Ohio State offense. But, you know, they got three receivers going crazy over there. But Jameson Williams, I mean, 190 yards, 3 touchdowns on 8 receptions. He caught a slant. He outran everyone to the end zone. He really reminds me of a lot of, like, he looks like a little bit taller version of Deontay Johnson, like from that type of route running ability, that type of explosiveness. I think he might actually time faster than Deontay Johnson, but just this guy who's just, I mean, he's separate. He's winning every which way. And he might insert himself into that first round topic for some of these receivers. And I want to ask you, do you think that the receiver position from here on out will just continue to be as loaded as it's been over the last couple of years?
I mean, the question is always going to be there when we continue to emphasize empty sets and throwing the ball over and over and over, unless you find some weakness that you want to exploit. And then you have Florida rushing for 300 yards in a game or something like that. Yeah. So I think it's going to be pretty consistent. The question for me is, I agree with you on Jameson, to tell you the truth. Like, I heard a lot of people say, oh, he's just in the Ruggs role in this offense, like we've seen before. But he, like you said, he wins so many different ways. I think he's more advanced than Ruggs was at this point. I think that he does more. I think that he's a better athlete overall. I don't think he times as well, but hey, you know, we'll find out when the numbers come out, right? But it's always going to be about the athleticism. It's always going to be about getting guys in space and having the ability to hit them, right? And I feel like this is going to continue until somebody stops it, until we see like a revolution in the defensive plans for the college tiers that take away some of those things and force you back into another aspect of winning, whether that's, you know, emphasizing tight ends or going back to the run game or something like that. Until then, I think we're going to see class after class of guys that put up huge numbers. And then we have to decipher about, it makes the jump to the NFL that much more important and that much harder to predict, I think. And it's interesting because, like we talked about Burks looked explosive at times. I thought there were lapses as well. Like, I want to see him go dominate like Jameson. Yeah. And I just haven't seen that yet.
Well, I think when it comes to Burks, he's more like kind of straight line speed, but he's so big. You know, we're talking about somebody who's like 6'3", 230 pounds. He's not as, how can I put this? He's not as like twitched up as great you ideally boy would like, right? So when I look at him, and sometimes I struggle with receivers that kind of win in this mold, but, you know, A.J. Brown, and we might hear that comparison a lot, like come draft time, but A.J. Brown wasn't necessarily like the quickest guy. I remember thinking like, oh, you know, plays a lot in the slot. You know, he's matched up against linebackers and safeties in space. He's able to just run the spots, and when teams did kind of, hey, we want to play press against you, you know, I remember him playing against LSU, and they were able to kind of just take him out of the game by being physical with him at the line of scrimmage. And I was wondering, like, you know, how's that going to translate to the NFL? This is a guy who's kind of built a little bit more stout and not, and doesn't have as much of the quicks as you ideally would like, but then also doesn't have just a pure straight line speed. When I look at Treylon Burks, he has some of those same things going on, but I think that straight line speed is like really good. Like, if he runs 4.43 at the combine, I wouldn't be surprised. I think everybody would be kind of blown away for the size that he does have. So when you're kind of looking at him, you got to – I struggle with this because I want the quick twitch-up guy. Like, just in theory, like, I like the Jameson Williams more than the Treylon Burks. But Treylon Burks, man, there's just some things that you can't teach. And with his body, his size, his ability, I think it's going to be tough to stop him, even at the NFL level. And we're seeing guys like win like that right now, that win at the catch point, Ja'Marr Chase. Now, again, I'm not saying Burks is the same caliber of prospect as a Ja'Marr Chase, but just in the sense of being able to win vertically and not just as a pure route runner, I think that's where a guy like him kind of stands out. And I wonder if this is coming from, you know, this explosion of younger guys now. One, they're getting the, you know, personal trainers, which, you know, I know all about that. You know all right about that. Guys getting trainers. They're developing much earlier. And then you have 7-on-7 right now, which, excuse me, which the 7-on-7 kind of scene, that whole world, it's really picked up around the time that these kids were like sophomores and juniors, you know? And now guys are getting like this extensive training. They're getting so many more reps, running routes, catching passes, running routes against coverage. Whereas before, you know, a lot of it was just, all right, you know, you got the off season, you know, you do a little bit of stuff. Guys were just really athletes. Now guys are understanding how to run routes, how to run stuff into coverage, use their athleticism, and they're just getting so many more reps to where now I think they're just more prepared for college football, and in turn, they've been more prepared for the NFL in the sense of just being able to win at that level. So I asked this question, do you think it's something that it continue? And as long as 7-on-7 is around and it's kind of helping kids develop from that standpoint, get all those extra reps, I think the receiver position, man, is going to continue to be a strength in drafts. But what I do want to ask you now is, what does that mean for the cornerback position? You know, because if receivers are just getting better and better, how do you start to view coverage? Do you prioritize more pass rush over the secondary? Because secondary is going to have more trouble in general.
You know, for me, the best way to stop something is at its point, right? So I want the guy who's there in front of him. So I would emphasize coverage. I think you hit it on the key that the 7-on-7 that they play when they're younger, it's key to go against coverage. And I think that right now we're seeing the emphasis on the pass, the route runners, right? The pass catchers, not the pass defenders. And I think at some point that will swing back because the competition will become so fierce because there's so many guys that are getting such early training that then it's going to be like, okay, can anybody stop them? Whoever can do that, we have a starting spot for you. We have a scholarship for you. Come on up, show us what you got. And so I think I'm waiting for that day when it kind of swings back the other direction.
And speaking on swinging back in the other direction, and we want to talk somewhat about this college football landscape and where it's headed with prospects. How does it affect them coming out of high school, heading to the NFL, heading to the draft? We're going to get to all that and more. But first, all right, I know you guys have heard about this. Now, if you listen to this show, and it's Built Bar, right? And if you haven't tried Built Bar, you have to try that right now. If you haven't, you're missing out. They say it's a protein bar, but it doesn't taste like one. It really almost tastes like a candy bar. You have to try one of these amazing bars for yourself to believe it. Most protein bars are chalky and waxy, and they're just plain hard to really eat down. But a Built Bar, it's soft. It's covered in 100% real chocolate. And when you bite into it, you know you're biting into something different, and it's definitely an experience that you will definitely enjoy. Our Built Bars are low in carb, low in calorie, low in fat, low in sugar, and high in protein. So you get all the healthy benefits on top of just something being really good and flavorful. So another great thing about Built Bar, there's so many different mouth-watering flavors from coconut, raspberry, mint brownie, coconut almond, salted caramel, which is my favorite. Which one's your favorite, Ryan?
I go back and forth between the coconut chunk and the cookie. Those are my favorites right now. Anyway, I might have to eat it right while you're talking.
Right, and you know, speaking of right now, you know, this month right now, Built is coming out with a new limited flavor every 3 to 4 days. So check their website often. All right, you won't want to miss out on this. And to check the website, you go to built.com, use the promo code LOCK15, and get 15% off your order. All right, that's use promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off at built.com. And while you're at it, it's Thanksgiving. And we know what that means, man. You got football, you got food, you got family, and nothing goes better with football, family, and turkey than betting on some of these football games. All right, BetOnline has you covered for the holiday season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all sports action this Thanksgiving. So right now, man, head over to our new updated desktop and mobile website to sign up and receive your 50% welcome bonus from promo code Locked On to receive that bonus. All right, and it's not just football. All right, I know football, Thanksgiving, all that. I think last year they had NBA on Thanksgiving as well, but nothing can compare to football. All right, so it's not just football, though. Is, you know, BetOnline has pro college basketball, NHL, boxing, UFC. They even have your favorite Vegas casino games. So don't wait to take advantage of this amazing offer that's good throughout the 2021 season. Go to that right now. Go to the website. All right. So BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. That's BetOnline. We are stuffed with deals throughout this entire Thanksgiving. And that's where the games begin. And speaking of where the games begin, man, I noticed this huge lopsided game. All right. Ohio State against Michigan State. That was a game that was supposed to be good. You had one of the, you know, two top 10 programs in the nation. And Ohio State just destroys Michigan State. Now, one thing that was clear, and I mean, if you look at some of CJ Stroud's numbers, and we won't get too much into CJ Stroud this year because he's not draft eligible, but I think he had 3 incomplete passes. He was off the top of my head, I think it was like 32 or 35, like 6 touchdowns, like just something crazy. And he didn't even really play in the second half. Michigan State has, on paper, like the worst statistical secondary in the league, worst pass defense in college football. And my thing is, like, how does that happen? Like, how are you at a power five school and you can't get like the coaching right. You can't get the players right. You have all these resources. And I've been to some of these universities. I went and visited like Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Minnesota's like facilities. Now, again, you're talking to somebody that comes from a Division II school. All right. Mm-hmm. But their facilities, amazing. You have literally everything you need from, you know, just nutrition to recovery to if you have downtime, they got a little golf stuff you can do. I mean, just all the resources, everything you need to become a good football player. So as a coach, knowing that your players have all these resources and things, how do you still roll out there, be a top 10 college football team and have one of the worst secondaries in the league and get destroyed by Ohio State?
Yeah, I mean, three players over 100 yards. I almost brought the trio up in the last segment about the wide receivers. I'm sure we'll talk about Wilson versus Olave here coming up sometime this week, folks. We are here 5 days a week, if you guys didn't know that. That's the hard part. Like, you have to kind of balance, I think, that you are facing a team with elite talent. I mean, not just good, elite talent at the wide receiver position. So there's a little bit of gap there, right? But even Shakur Brown came out a season ago, had played well in college. Not the transition is not functional, right? Then you have the distraction of the coach. Mel Tucker's up for a number of rumored jobs, right? What does that do to your concentration? What does that do to your preparation for this game? Then does it take away from, are you actually getting ready for guys that are for all intents and purposes, pro prospects right now in Olave, in Wilson, in JSN as well? Are you preparing in that way? Do you have the staff to get you there? Because I think for the most part, you would say that Michigan State's had a good season, right? So what changed that got you to that point where you get so utterly destroyed by another program that you would think you should be in competition with, given your record and your association with them in your meeting year in, year out, over and over and over? I think it's a little baffling for me because I don't know that program very well.
Well, so a lot of the responses I got on social media, and this is kind of a deep thing here, the balance, the talent, right? So Michigan State is just not able to get the same type of recruits and talent that Ohio State can get. And it's really kind of the same as places like Alabama, you know, and Georgia, some of these schools in the SEC that continue to be powerhouses year in and year out. And the people that are struggling the most with this is, you know, the Pac-12, right? They're hurting big time because of this. Pac-12, they can't get the right coaching in there because they're not paying enough, right? I don't know if you saw UCLA and USC. 10 minutes before the game started, I mean, like, the crowd was – I mean, it looked like there was 15,000 people in there in the Coliseum that holds, like, 100,000 people. Like the West Coast, they're not caring enough about football right now. And that's dwindling down to everything that goes into getting some of these prospects. And, you know, there are a lot of schools that are not playing, they're not playing fair, you know, and the schools that aren't playing fair, they're going to be good all the time. The ones that are playing by the rules, they're not going to be in contention to win titles year in and year out. Now they'll have a year where they are good, but it's just not going to be sustainable because they're not going to continue to get that caliber of athlete that they need to be able to get. And I wonder if, and you can let me know your thoughts on this, do you think the NIL might kind of level the playing field a little bit? Because now there's a legit way that the players, you're able to entice players to, you know, potentially be able to get paid in different ways and whatnot.
I think it's key because it allows you to set some of those things up, like you said, that are now legal enticements to draw some of that. So you don't have to go one of the top five programs if you want to become a star or you want that kind of exposure. I think that's going to be important, but it's also going to be the thing, like, at the end of the day, what are you doing to help guys get to the next level? Because like we talked about earlier, there's guys that have been preparing for this since they were sophomores in high school, right? And if they have the talent, they're progressing to that point. So I think it's also about what kind of guys are you getting into the league? And how are your guys faring? Like, Washington's a great example. They've got a lot of DBs in this league. They've got some linebackers in this league, right? But they continually are having problems when a good coach leaves of making that jump. And I'm a fan of Jimmy Lake. I like what he's done as a defensive coach. Did he get it over in his head? Certainly seems like it. I don't know the man, but I think that he'll land somewhere and be well. But the question comes back to, can Washington compete with not only just recruiting against the SEC and even Big Ten, but even within the Pac-12 now, without that kind of recognition of how you're getting guys to the NFL?
Right. And I think, I mean, I'm glad you touched on Washington, because you're talking about a team who has put out Buda Baker. You have Keith Taylor, who I've spoken to, the Panthers, you know, defensive back coach, and he talked about, like, hey, this is a guy, man, he's coming on strong. He's a guy that I'm looking forward to having start with, you know, a C.J. Henderson, J.C. Horn, some of these guys, all right? But we're going to get into all that. There's some more into this coaching thing. A coach just got fired. How does that impact his draft players, or his players that might potentially be entering the draft? We're going to talk about some receivers that may be entering the draft who are coming off of injuries. So, yeah, man, you guys make sure you guys keep it locked, because we're going to talk about all that and more tomorrow. So, from Eric Crocker, Ryan Tracy, we'll see you guys tomorrow. Peace.